Thank you, Lord. I ask your blessing upon this message, its delivery. The content I know is from you, B'Shem Yeshua. I was recently given a book written by one of our congregants, Jill Melton. The book was titled, The Power of the Zip in a Heavenly Light. I was intrigued by the title because before I flipped through the book's pages, I could not imagine what kind of zip Jill was talking about. Was it the zip we get from a strong cup of coffee? Was it the zip sound we hear when we zip up our sweater? It didn't take me long, however, to realize that the zip to which Jill was referring is the zip of our mouths. You've heard the expression, zip it up, meaning stop talking. Well, that's what Jill was talking about. And the way we speak and don't speak is what Jill's book is about. Once I understood what zip meant, I became intrigued by something else in Jill's title, the word power. I'm well acquainted with how words sometimes get us into trouble and how not speaking sometimes keeps us out of trouble. But I had not previously considered that holding our tongues actually can have power. I don't know why it hadn't occurred to me, since one of the most powerful scriptures, Isaiah 53, gets its power partly from verse 7 that says of Yeshua, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The purpose of this message is not to promote Jill's book, but it did serve to remind me that it has been 5 years since I gave a message on biblical speech, and it is about time that I gave another. It is particularly important because Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has power over life and death, and those who indulge it must eat its fruit. Whew, what a scripture. What the scripture says is especially true within community, where the way we use our tongues can bring our community's blessing or to the gates of destruction. It applies equally to our home communities, our workplace communities, and to our religious communities. We would like to think that there's no wrongful use of the tongue here at Ohev, and for the most part, I think we do quite well. But now and again, some of us do transgress. So it's good to review God's teaching on the proper use of our speech. The way I will approach this message is to use relatively few words of my own and rather allow God to speak to us directly through his written word. So this message will mostly be a catalog of scriptures organized this way. First, scriptures that depict wrongful uses of the tongue. Second, scriptures that exhort us to righteous and holy uses of the tongue. Third, scriptures that call for delayed speech or silence. Fourth, scriptures that call for disciplining those who transgress in their speech. And finally, I will offer some personal guidance on the proper ways to express ourselves when we become offended and have legitimate criticisms and accusations that ought to be heard. Now, this message is going to be up on the internet, as all the messages, and it will be up there not only in the audible form, but also in the written form. So you'll be able to get the scriptures, even though I'm going to go through the chapters and verses quickly. You don't have to quickly try to find them or even remember them, because you'll be able to look on the internet sometime later this weekend or latest Monday. When we hear what the Bible has to say about speech, it may seem to be at odds with the U.S. Constitution. And it may indeed. In the United States, we pride ourselves on our First Amendment right of speech. So when we learn that the Bible teaches that speech should not always be that free, we sometimes bristle at the notion. Let us remember, though, that the Founding Fathers' original understanding of the First Amendment was much narrower in scope and application than what it has evolved to today. There are other situations as well where the Bible teaches and secular governments proclaim what they proclaim and what they teach take different paths, and believers throughout the ages have had to navigate between them. When we are faced with situations such as those, it is well to remember Yeshua's words in Matthew 22:21. Give the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to God what belongs to God. So with that introduction, let us begin with scriptures that describe the kinds of speech that transgress. First, speech that is insincere, sometimes called flattery. Psalms 5:9-10. Lead me, Adonai, in your righteousness because of those lying in wait for me. Make your way straight before me, for in their mouths there is nothing sincere. Within them are calamities. Their throats are open tombs. And they flatter with their tongues. They all tell lies to each other, flattering with their lips, but speaking from divided hearts. May Adonai cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks so proudly. That's Psalms 12:3-4. And Proverbs 26:28b, a flattering mouth causes ruin. And now speech that slanders, which is sometimes called murmuring. Slander is among the most serious of offenses. In modern usage, the word slander is speech communicated to one person that infers something bad about another person that is untrue. Biblical usage, however, is more akin to the rabbinical concept of lashon hara, that is, speaking negatively of a person regardless of whether what is being said is true or not. It is described in Ephesians 4:29 and James 4:11, so I'll read those to you. Ephesians 4:29, let no harmful language come from your mouth, only good words that are helpful in meeting the need, words that will benefit those who hear them. And you notice it doesn't refer to whether what is said is true or not. James 4:11, brothers, stop speaking against each other. Whoever speaks against a brother or judges a brother is speaking against Torah and judging Torah. And if you judge Torah, you are not a doer of what Torah says, but a judge. You will notice that the prohibition in these scriptures of using pejorative speech, both of them, is absolute. And as I've said, it matters not whether what is said is true or untrue. So here is a sampling of scriptures that command against slander of the biblical sort. Leviticus 19:16a. When I use a letter, by the way, I want people to understand what I'm talking about. If I say 19:16a, what I mean is I'm not reading the entire verse of 16. I'm reading the first part. And if I say B, I'm reading the second part. Okay? Okay. Do not go around spreading slander among your people. Next, if someone slanders another in secret, I will cut him off. That's Psalms 101:5a. A deceitful person stirs up strife, and a slanderer can separate even close friends. That's Proverbs 16:28. Now, speaking of godless and wicked people, we read from Romans 1:29, they are filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and vice. stuffed with jealousy, murder, quarreling, dishonesty, and ill will, they are, word omitted, slanderers. I'll get to the word omitted later. Ephesians 4:31a, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, violent assertiveness, and slander. Next one. But now put them all away, anger, exasperation, meanness, slander, and obscene talk. That's Colossians 3:8. Slander no one. Titus 3a. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 from the NIV because of the way it reads. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Speaking negatively about someone to a third person is egregious to God, and especially so if the someone is a leader that God himself has set in his office. What happened to Miriam when she murmured against Moses is the quintessential example of how serious a sin it is. We read about it in Numbers 12, verses 1 to 2, and then 6 to 10. Miriam and Aharon began criticizing Moses on account of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had in fact married an Ethiopian woman. They said, "Is it true that Adonai has spoken only with Moshe? Hasn't he spoken with us too?" And Adonai heard them. He said, "Listen to what I say. When there is a prophet among you, I, Adonai, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. But it isn't that way with my servant Moshe. He is the only one who is faithful in my entire household. With him, I speak face to face and clearly and not in riddles. He sees the image of Adonai. So, why weren't you afraid to criticize my servant Moshe?" And the anger of the Adonai flared up against them, and then he left. But when the cloud was removed from above the tent, Miriam had tsa'arot, leprosy, as white as snow. Aharon looked at Miriam, and she was white as snow. That's serious. And now a speech that gossips. Gossip, sometimes referred to as tale-bearing or spreading of rumors, is similar to lashon hara and slander. It is repeating to a person something that has been heard about another person. What is repeated in gossip is often negative, but doesn't have to be, such as when one reveals a matter that was intended to remain private, or that is just plain wrong. Repeating something that is not private and that is joyous and correct is not gossip. Here is a sampling of scriptures that speak against gossip. You are not to repeat false rumors, Exodus 23, 1a. A gossip goes around revealing secrets, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. I'll give you that scripture. That was Proverbs 11:13. A gossip goes around revealing secrets, so don't get involved with a talkative person. Proverbs 20:19. I like this one. I like the comparison in this one. If there is no wood, the fire goes out. If nobody gossips, contention stops. That's neat, isn't it? Proverbs 26:20. Speaking of godless and wicked people for the second time, remember I left out a word? Well, here's the word I left out, and I'll read the scripture. They are filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and vice. stuffed with jealousy, murder, quarreling, dishonesty, and ill will. They are, and here's the word that was left out, gossips. In 2 Corinthians 12:20, "For I am afraid of coming and finding you not the way I want you to be, and also of not being found the way you want me to be. I'm afraid of finding quarreling and jealousy, anger, rivalry, slander and gossip, arrogance and disorder." And now, speech that tells lies. Several weeks ago, you heard a message that suggested that there are times when lying might be sanctioned by God. Now, I don't know about that, but we do see a few occasions in the Bible where God seems to give a pass to lying. For example, when Jacob lied to his father Isaac, with Rebekah's help, in fact, in order to obtain Isaac's blessing. We read that in Genesis 27, verses 1 to 29. And a second example is when Rahab lied to the king of Jericho in order to save two spies that were sent out by Joshua and that she was hiding. And we read about that in Joshua 2, 1 to 6. Now, I have no explanation for these occurrences and can only tell you that all the scriptures in the Bible that specifically address lying teach that lying is immoral and sinful. Now, here are some scriptures that teach that. "There are six things Adonai hates, seven which he detests: a haughty look, a lying tongue." Proverbs 6, 16-17a. "Do not give false evidence against your neighbor." Exodus 20, verse 16, and in the Jewish version, it's 13b. Proverbs 12:22, "Lying lips are an abomination to Adonai, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." The next one, "A false witness will..." That one is Proverbs 12:22. And the next one, "A false witness will not go unpunished. Whoever breathes out lies will perish." "Like a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow is a person who gives false testimony against a neighbor." Proverbs 25:18. And finally, Colossians 3:9a, "Never lie to anyone." The Bible has many other things to say about wrongful speech: prideful speech, perverse speech, cursing, and more. But what I want to address now is some of what the Bible says about the righteous and holy use of speech. The scriptures are many on this, and I can't cover them all, but here are a few of them. "I will bless Adonai at all times. His praise will always be on my mouth." Psalms 34, 1. In the Jewish version, 2. "Shout for joy to Adonai, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy, sing praises." Psalms 98, 4. "The speech of the righteous is a fountain of life." Proverbs 10, 11a. "On the lips of the intelligent is found wisdom." Proverbs 10, 13a. "He who tells the truth furthers justice." Proverbs 12, 17a. And Matthew 6, 9, "You are therefore to pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." And prayer is another way that we use our speech. These are a lot of scriptures, but God's desire that we use our gift of speech for good warrants our hearing just a few more. So please bear with me, just a few more. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no harmful language come from your mouths, only good words that are helpful in meeting the need, words that will benefit those who hear them." Keep persisting in prayer. Stay alert in it and being thankful. Colossians 4:2. Finally, Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is alive. It is at work and is sharper than any double-edged sword. Clearly then, speaking the Word of God is one of the best uses of our speech and has great power for good. And now, speech that is silent. How can speech be silent? I have already alluded to how Yeshua's silence in his final hours of his life spoke volumes and released power. There are some other scriptures that suggest times when there is virtue in being slow to speak or remaining silent. Exodus 14:14 from the NIV, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Be still before Adonai. Wait patiently till he comes." Psalms 37:7a. "He who belittles another lacks good sense, whereas a person of discernment stays silent." Proverbs 11:12. "He who guards his mouth preserves life, but one who talks too much comes to ruin." Proverbs 13:3. This one's kind of cute. I like this one. Proverbs 17:28. "Even a fool, if he stays silent, is thought wise. He who keeps his mouth shut can pass for smart." You know, I've used that myself on occasion. James 1:9. "Therefore, my dear brothers, let every person be quick to listen, but slow to speak, slow to get angry." The scriptures we have just heard ought to impress us with how damaging the wrongful use of our tongue can be, and especially in communities such as Ohave. The reason is that gossips and slander and lying and improperly accusing leaders causes divisions among the brethren, and a spirit of disunity can break a community apart. That is not to say that leaders are immune from criticism or accusation when they do wrong, and there are processes for that, which I will discuss in a moment. Meanwhile, let's take note of several scriptures that call for discipline and withdrawal from those who transgress in their speech and do not repent. The first scripture, Galatians 1:8-9, applies to a person claiming to be a believer, but who preaches heresy. "But even if we, or for that matter an angel from heaven, were to announce to you some so-called good news, contrary to the good news we did announce to you, let him be under a curse forever. We said it before, and I say it again. If anyone announces good news contrary to what you received, let him be under a curse forever." Now the next two scriptures, 3 and 4. No, that's 1 and 2, isn't it? Okay. "Call for us to avoid and, if necessary, expel a person from our midst if he or she is divisive." Let me read these to you. Titus 3:10-11. "Warn a divisive person once, then a second time. And after that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a person has been perverted and is sinning, and he stands self-condemned." And Romans 16:17a. "I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put snares alongside the teaching in which you have been trained. Keep away from them. For men like these are not serving our Lord the Messiah, but their own belly. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the innocent. Now, the next scripture requires that we cast out of our community persons who scoff at the word of God. Proverbs 22:10, throw the scoffer out and quarreling goes too. Strife and insults cease. Now, I want to just point out something to you. This particular scripture does not say anything about who that scoffer is. And we're assuming the scoffer is an unbeliever. And so sometimes the question might arise, well, what are you saying? If an unbeliever who comes who doesn't believe in God, that we ought to throw him out? No, that's not what the scripture is talking about. The scripture is talking about a person, an unbeliever, let's say, that is invited to the congregation, stays in the congregation, and disrupts the congregation by continually scoffing against God. That's what the scripture is talking about. It's not talking about somebody who's open to hearing the truth, but someone who is disruptive and has an agenda of his own to teach that God is maybe not God, God is bad, or whatever he is teaching. That's what the scripture is talking about. The next scripture I'll present requires that we withdraw from a brother in the faith who is disorderly and unscriptural in the way he conducts his life. It's 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now in the name of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, we command you, brothers, to stay away from any brother who is leading a life of idleness. Now, the New King James doesn't say idleness. It says walks disorderly. A life not in keeping with the tradition you received from us. Now, this scripture does not specifically refer to speech, but it is relevant because one of the ways we can be disorderly and unscriptural is through the way we speak. The manner in the way we apply these scriptures is a topic for another message. But for now, notice that persons who do not control their tongues within a believing community need to be removed from the community. It is not a matter of First Amendment rights. It's a matter of protecting the community. Now I'd like to address some ways to legitimately address complaints. The scriptures do not leave us without ways to raise legitimate complaints within congregations. Sometimes complaints are warranted and needed. Offenses can be of various kinds, but there are two basic types: private offenses and public offenses. A private offense is when an individual sins against another individual, and the remedy for that is given in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17, where one first confronts the offender alone, then with one or two others, and finally the matter is brought to the congregation's elders. The other kind of offense is when a sin is of a public nature and it affects the community at large. One can attempt to correct such a sin privately, but the usual remedy is to report it to the elders who are authorized to deal with it pursuant to whatever scriptures apply. It is akin to reporting a theft to the police in the public arena. In all cases, making accusations public, public accusations or whispering accusations, gossiping about what one has heard, these are strictly forbidden. A special case exists where the one being accused or complained about is an elder. 1 Timothy 5:19 requires that, and I'm quoting, "Never listen to any accusation against a leader unless it is supported by two or three witnesses." When an accusation is made against an elder, a congregation will often bring in elders from other congregations to assist. And if one is a member of a tikkun congregation such as Ohave, members have a right to bring complaints against their elders and to appeal decisions of their elders to Tikkun's American Apostolic Team. Now, I've given this message on biblical speech. The scriptures are important to keep in mind, and they're life-giving. And I do really suggest that you, sometime after this weekend, go to the website and download the written version and keep these scriptures handy to review. I'll now conclude with a prayer taken from Psalms 19:14, which I think is particularly relevant. "May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Adonai, my rock and redeemer. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen."